Welcome to a Catalyst for Change podcast, where we are a catalyst to inspire compassion among people, promote collaboration with leaders, and build capacity for programming.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst for Change show. We are so grateful you are here. Support After Abortion hosts this show because we know that in order to end the demand for abortion, we must heal those who are impacted. Today, I have an amazing guest in store for you today. She has her own experience with abortion, but she has found a way to take that experience, to take that pain and create so much purpose with it. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Victoria Robinson. Victoria, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm so grateful for how God has aligned us in our relationship and everything that's transpired since I think it was our first virtual conference, or maybe it was our second one. But Victoria, can you introduce yourself to our guests and let them know a little bit about you personally?
Sure. Hi. Thank you for having me again, Lisa. I think it was the first time we met through email communication, maybe phone, and then virtually. It's been, gosh, a year and a half, maybe, I think, since we did that first one. And I felt an instant connection with you. And just for the viewers to know that Lisa is not just a great colleague. She's also a friend who gives very good advice to her friends. I have been working in pro-life issues for this is going into my 24th year now. And unfortunately, I chose abortion over 34 years ago, and it just devastated my life. It changed the trajectory of what I was doing. I was a real estate paralegal at the time, Lisa, working in law. And then I got involved with someone, chose abortion. And even though I continued in my same line of my profession, I was different. The woman who walks into an abortion clinic is definitely not the same one who walks out, at least for me and many, many, many other women that I've met through my travels and my work, is, and men as well, women and men. But so that just sent me on about 12 years after having chosen abortion. I got involved at a local pregnancy resource center who I thought if I went there and volunteered and helped enough other girls not make the choice I made, I could stop feeling so guilty and ashamed of the choice that I had made previously. But what I found was that not only was that going to be part of my life, but also speaking out about my own story and then getting very involved in after abortion recovery, because it was after abortion recovery that I received through a pregnancy resource center that 100%, no question, literally changed my life and changed everything for me, how I looked at myself, how I felt about myself, my relationship with Christ, how I viewed men, how I viewed this issue, and the compassion that I felt towards others who had chosen the same thing, that were walking around like I was. They're like walking dead, almost like walking wounded, who haven't received the help I did, or they didn't even know it was available, like I didn't for over a decade. And I just felt it was part of my mission now to make sure that men and women realize there is hope and healing after an abortion. There is redemption, that God forgives, and you can smile again and you can have joy again.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you just shared goes along with the consumer research that Support After Abortion did in 2020 that said 9 out of 10 women in our country over the age of 18 don't know where to go for healing after abortion. So you are not uncommon, Victoria, in the fact that it's not publicized everywhere. In fact, there's a group that I'm leading right now that the girl said, one of our participants said, abortion is socially acceptable, but nobody's talking about it.
That's good.
I mean, sit in that for a minute. I want to say that again. Abortion is socially acceptable, but nobody is talking about it. Isn't that so true? I mean, we take it for granted. I'll be at a lunch, and I'm sure you can relate to this, and all of a sudden it'll seem like the music stops and everybody quiets down and all the ding, ding, ding stops. And all of a sudden I say abortion, right? And I'm like, you know, and I don't, but then the person next to me turns or something like that. But it's our common language. I mean, talk to me a little bit about why it took 12 years and what really, like, did somebody have to like invite you somewhere? I mean, what happened?
Well, it took me that long because I buried the pain and I masked the pain, and I got involved in my church and started saying yes to everything that I was asked to do, not knowing even at the time that I was trying to overcompensate to make up for what I'd done. I was terrified every week after week, Lisa, that while I was singing, I mean, I was on the worship team leading worship at a big church. This was an Assemblies of God church with 7,000-8,000 people. And here I was on the platform singing solos and worship, being a worship leader, thinking, oh my gosh, if they know, they're going to probably never let me sing again. They'll kick me out of the church. They don't allow people like me here. So I have to keep my secret. So there was no way I was going to tell anybody. I felt safe with my secrets. We think we're safe with our secrets. But what interesting with my life, what happened with me is I started getting invited to more and more women's events, and I would go. And then the woman that was involved with of the women's ministry, her name's Pastor Terry Furr. She came to me one day and said, hey, I've been praying about this group I want to put together to do women's conferences and different events. And I've written down 12 names that I feel the Lord told me to have as part of this key leadership group. And you're one of them. And for 2 months, I tried to talk her out of it. I literally said, Pastor Terry, you need to get back on your knees. You did not hear God right. There's no way. Sorry about that. That's my alarm to tell me I've got to do my stuff with you. As a matter of fact, you know what? I had it. I need to make sure this thing is off because I had it scheduled to go off at 12:45 when we were supposed to be done.
Yes.
But anyways, so she kept trying to talk me into being part of this women's group. And I kept telling her, no, no, no. And I was convinced. This woman I looked up to as a woman of God, maybe she's really not, because she would never think I should be part of a group like that. But she was relentless. She said, don't tell me what I know I heard. I know you're supposed to be part of this team. So I became part of this group of 12 women. We met regularly, which I started growing in my walk with Christ and started learning about forgiveness. Now, I never told that group I'd had an abortion. I still kept that secret. But when we would have women's conferences, it was like there was a light over my head, Lisa, because these women, it would come in droves after the conference for prayer. But for some reason, I was the one they came to whisper in my ear they'd had an abortion and asked me to pray with them. They couldn't get over it. Their husband didn't know, or their parents, whatever the case. So I would pray with them right there at the altar. And I mean, I would let the Holy Spirit just use me and pray with them. And these prayers were, some of them were like, I knew they weren't me. And I would watch these women completely transform before my eyes. Yet I was still walking around feeling that guilt, the shame, the pain, and feeling like everyone could look at me and they could tell, and they were talking behind my back. Just all of these things convincing me. I also got involved in really bad relationships that I shouldn't have been in. I didn't let friendships come too close. I had to keep them at a distance, because if they got too close, then they would find out, or I'd have to tell them. Because let's face it, true friendships are honest friendships. If you can't tell your best friend you had an abortion, that's not a real healthy friendship if you're not feeling safe to tell them. Well, I didn't feel safe with anyone. So as these women continued to come, Lisa, to me at these conferences, I got angrier and angrier with God. And I would go home after these conferences and be like, what the heck? Why are you always make them come to me to talk to me about their abortion. You don't ever have them go talk to the other 11, because we would have these meetings afterwards. We'd regroup. How did it go? What did you? And I would say, did anybody get anybody that said they had an abortion? No, you always get those, Victoria. And I was like, oh, so I was get so angry with the Lord. Well, in the meantime, when all this is going on, I hope this is making sense, because it's really an incredibly profound way how God put all the pieces in place. As all this is going on, I've joined this team. Women are coming to me at conferences. I'm feeling like awful about myself. Someone's going to find out when I'm singing. I'm involved in bad relationships. All this going on, there's this woman named Mary, who was a member of our church, who was the executive director of that local pregnancy center in our town. And for 3 years, that woman pursued me. You'd be great volunteering at our pregnancy center. You should come and volunteer. I will, Mary, I will. I promise one day I'm gonna come over there and go through your volunteer training. All right, 3 years. So this one particular conference, there had been dozens. This woman came to me at the altar. She was just undone. She was a wreck. And she told me she had an abortion. She said, I can't get over it. It's been 27, 28 years, I believe it was. It was a couple decades. And I said, okay, well, I'll pray with you. I prayed with her and I watched before my eyes, this woman received forgiveness. She was healed. She was set free. And I was happy for her, but I was, for some reason, more and more angry about this. So I went home again, had my come to Jesus meeting again, but this one was pretty rough. And as I'm screaming and yelling at God, when are you going to heal me? When are you going to give me the same thing I watched you give her? Do you hate me? I thought you're not supposed to have favorites. I mean, it was ugly. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, I've been trying. And the next person I saw in my mind was Mary. So the next day I called Mary and I said, I'm ready to start volunteering. She goes, I'm so glad to hear that. We have volunteer training starting next week. So I started, and that's when everything changed for me, because I finally felt safe after months, several months, and went to Mary and said, I have an abortion, Mary, I need help. And she goes, I know. And I went, is it tattooed on my head? What do you mean you know? And she was like, no, Victoria, I have felt that for a while. I feel like that's why you've stayed away. So now we're going to take what the enemy meant for evil and we're going to turn it into good. And we're going to get you in after abortion recovery. She did. I went through it. Voila. Here I am. Wow. 24 years later.
That constant pursuit is really what helped you. And, you know, as you were talking, I'm reminded of this. We created this vision of, you know, when you get a zit on your forehead, especially when you're a teenager, right? You think everybody can see that zit, you know, everybody. And it's really not. I mean, not everybody sees it that way, but you're covering it up. You're trying to. I feel like an abortion is like that internal zit, right? Where we feel like everybody's looking at it, but nobody knows, you know, and you know, you and I were just talking about this, but it's that unforgiveness of self that, you know, we're trying to hide everything and keep it out, but it's all just inner torment. It's all like drinking poison for us. Nobody else has a clue except for us. And, I'm just wondering, like, as you experience this constant pursuit, did you hear, other than the women that would come to you about having an abortion and needing healing, did you have leaders in your life, Victoria? Did you have anybody outside of Mary who finally did say, I knew that you did, anybody say, like, any pains in your past, any abortion experience? Like, did anybody have that conversation with you?
Never. Even when I go to the doctor for my regular checkups, you know, they always have that questionnaire. Have you ever had an abortion? I said, no, I never wrote in. Now I do, but I did not then. And so never. Mary was the only one. And Mary was pursuing me to be a volunteer. I don't know when she had this epiphany about me, but now I usually can meet women now in conversation and tell, she's had an abortion, or even some of her behaviors, or that's where she's headed, what she's wanting to tell me. So no one ever did. And if you heard about abortion, it was how horrible it is. I mean, one of my daughters, before she even knew that I'd had an abortion, had a big sign in her bedroom because she was pro-life all the way. And in high school, she did the March for Life. She did the throughout the town, and she had the sign that she held up that said abortion is murder. And it was in her bedroom. So do you think if I see that every day that I was wanting then at that point to tell Amy? Of course not. I kept convincing myself, see, that's why you keep your mouth shut. All sins are forgivable, but not that. Your own daughter knows that's murder. Your own daughter has that. When that particular daughter found out, do you know, Lisa, the first thing she did after she was just crying and crying is she held me and said, I'm so sorry about that sign in my bedroom you've looked at for the past several years. Wow. Mommy, I didn't know. And I said, babe, you don't have anything to apologize for. It's the truth. So I'm so proud of you for the stand you've taken, but her concern was me. And, but yeah, no, that's a great question, but no one did. Now we're talking, I've been involved in this work now 24 years, but let's fast forward to 24 years. Has it really changed? Not much.
That bewilders me. And it breaks my heart because time and time again, and I know you encounter men and women too who have experienced abortion. I mean, the pain is so real, and it's so different than the pains that we experience in other ways, because it is such a shameful, secret, polarized, stigma-driven issue that the people that we love and care for are dealing with. And so I'm anxious to know, Victoria. So here's this Mary, who you've learned to embody a lot of the characteristics that she showed you. Like, how do you now, knowing that nobody talked to you and that she was such a catapult into your healing, like, how do you now work with men and women who have experienced abortion?
Well, I continue to use my voice. And I think that it gives courage to people who are post-abortive like me. I never heard anyone talk about having an abortion ever. Not even testimonies when people would come to your church. It was never about abortion. It was drugs, alcohol, adultery, cheating, stealing. Never did anyone talk about having an abortion. So I give my voice to them. And I have said many, many times, Lisa, that my child did not die in vain because of, and this is not to be bragging, I'm just telling you the facts. Millions of people have now heard my story in 24 years. One of the videos out there has, I've been told, like 14 million streams. So there's millions of people that have heard me tell my story. And here's how I know it's proof. I don't hear from all of those millions or however many people, but I hear from many who tell me, I've never heard someone talk about their abortion. I've never heard someone confess they had that. How do you do that? How can you? And I tell them, because I'm healed now. Before, I couldn't talk about it because of the shame. Now I'm healed. I'm on the other side. So if you have a problem with it or somebody else has a problem with it, I don't take that on myself. That's between them and God. I know I'm forgiven. I've been set free. I have forgiven myself and even had to forgive those around me that participated. So I think that's where it comes from, is just having that courage to speak out. So if someone doesn't have that courage yet, and here's the thing I want to say, many, many, many times, and I'm sure you hear it too, Lisa, when people say to me, now that I've told you, do I have to tell everybody like you do? I'm like, no, God's called me to this work, but he may call you to talk to your neighbor. He may call you to talk to that coworker you work with. He may call you to talk to your daughter. When she comes to you and says, I'm pregnant and I need an abortion, that may be the time when he says you need to tell her. So you don't need to freak out about those things. This is the work I've been called to. I can tell you for 12 years, I never told anybody. I couldn't look in a mirror. And I say this every time I talk with people because it's the truth. I could not look in a mirror because I tell you, I tried. I'd stand in front of my bathroom mirror alone and try to get the words out in the mirror to say, you had an abortion. I couldn't do it. I couldn't even speak it. So it wasn't until I went through healing and with the millions upon millions of abortions since Roe v. Wade, 64, I think now, isn't it, Lisa? Yeah. So that's 128 million people affected when you include the men, because let's not forget these babies had fathers.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of people that are walking wounded or walking dead who do not know there's help for them. And that's why I think our work is critical. When I called the father of my aborted child after 10 years, after I'd gone through the healing that Mary put me through, and then I felt led by the Lord to write a book, which I did. When my book was being published, I felt that I should call him and tell him, because we ran in the same circles, even though we'd never run into each other. That was a whole God thing, because we should have, we didn't. As soon as he heard my voice, he began to weep. And he said, I've been waiting for this call for over a decade to beg you for forgiveness for what I made you do. And I've been in therapy 8 years dealing with it. Can you forgive me? I should have protected you. I should have protected our child, and I failed you both. I realized in that moment, one, I hadn't fully forgiven him, and that men are hurting too. And I realized that the Lord spoke to my heart and said, don't ever not speak about these fathers. And when I go speak at different events, men will come to my book table, Lisa, and they'll say, thank you, because I'm one of those dads and nobody talks about us. but I'm hurting too. Yeah, I paid for it, or I drove her, or I forced her, or I didn't know she was pregnant, or I agreed because she, that's what she wanted. But then later on, it has affected their lives. So abortion is not just about losing all of these children and generations of people. It is about the generations that will pay because of the pain of their parents, and they haven't been healed, and they're passing on that pain to their children.
Wow, so good. You're touching on so many great points. And I feel like the one that's standing out to me right now is just this message of being very, very clear and clear and direct when we are sharing a pro-life message or healing message in general. I'm thinking about the picture that was in your daughter's room about abortion is murder. Thinking about the March for Life coming up and the March for Lives that are happening around the United States right now. There are so many devout pro-life folks, just like your daughter, who are streaming this message of abortion is murder, save the baby. But you just brought like so many different facets in that, well, if we only talk about the baby that's being murdered, then we're forgetting about the moms and dads that are living in the millions across our world that are hurting after abortion, that are now encouraging because their own hurt and pain, their daughters and their grandchildren to have abortions. But we're also not talking, even if we do say, you know, it, love them both, which usually means the child and the mom, we're forgetting about the dad. So from your experience, how can our messaging in the pro-life world, we're talking to pro-life leaders right now, likely they're abortion healing leaders, they're running pregnancy centers, they're therapists, somehow they are influencing life and the culture of life. How can we be better, more articulate communicators when we think of almost four generations who have experienced abortion now? That's more than the amount of children that have died to abortion. Like you said, 120 million that are living this and walking wounded. Like you said, what can we be doing differently to be communicating to them?
Well, I think we have to recognize that these men matter. We have to recognize that this country has emasculated men for decades. And we have had this, we don't need a man. I can get pregnant in a dish. I can do this. I can do whatever. No, that's not true. Men are incredibly important to our society, and they are the foundation of the family. I'm sorry, you can like that or not, ladies, but it's the truth. And I've been a single mother most of my adult of my life. I've been a single mother. So I know how the struggles are as a single mom. And I am not saying single moms cannot have great home lives and have a healthy place for their children to grow up that's safe and secure. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we've got to shift the mentality that we don't need men, that they don't matter, because they do. They matter very much. And I think that the breakdown of the family has been a huge detriment to what we see around us today in this country. And I think that, I don't know, do people think, well, if I admit that, I got to admit I was wrong. Well, then admit you're wrong. And let's humble ourselves and admit a lot of us were wrong, because I blamed that guy for over 10 years. I hated him. I hated him and said, it's because of him in my mind. It's all his fault, that abortion doctor, that nurse, that woman who took my money, all of these people, the picketers, because they weren't there that day. Everybody's fault but my own. He did not drag me into the abortion clinic. And as uncaring as the abortion clinic workers were, they didn't put a gun to my head either to lay on that table and let them abort my child. I chose to do that. So we need to all take responsibility for our part, including men. Now, this is not all about let's just all bash women and men are all great. I know there's a ton of awful guys out there. I've met them. Trust me. I'll leave it at that. There are great men out there too. And I meet them everywhere I go to speak. And they're saying to me, we get such a bad rap. So let's talk about it. Like I said, I don't go anywhere, no interview, no television, no media, no where if I speak at a church, if I speak at an event, something like a March for Life, it doesn't matter what platform I'm on. I don't ever not address the men. So I think, Lisa, if we talk about it, if we communicate about it, if we stop, let's just stop what we've been doing. It's not working. It's just not working. So let's find a new thing. And the new thing is the father and the mother made that baby. that was their child. The child is a child who was a human being from conception. We know this. If we can just educate more people, shift the hearts and the minds, I think everything can change. But it starts with conversation, and it starts with some people humbling themselves because of this attitude they have towards men. Well, they're the ones jumping around having sex. Yep, they are. But guess what? One day they're going to wake up and realize, oh my gosh, that was my baby. Or they're going to find themselves in behaviors they don't understand where they came from and find out eventually, hopefully for them, that's where it came from to get the help they need. I'll tell you this really quick. I spoke at an event for New Canaan Men's Society at their, this is a like a Promise Keepers kind of thing. They've got chapters all over the country, really incredibly impressive event and an incredibly impressive organization. But they, Storks, the company that I work for, Save the Storks, one of the companies, they were sponsoring this event in Orlando, their big, huge one 2 summers ago. Well, Stork said, well, we have someone we'd like to speak. And they don't usually have women. I don't think actually they've ever had women. And I spoke, hundreds of men sitting there listening to my story about having an abortion. And I told the story that I just shared with you. These guys, Lisa, we had a Stork bus there so they could tour it. And I was on it. They knew I'd be on it. I told them, come say hi if you want. An hour and a half in 98 degree weather in Orlando, Florida, these men waited in line, some of them in suits, to come on this bus because they needed to confess to me, because they felt a connection, because they knew I got it and I understood their pain. And I wouldn't laugh at them or say, oh, what do you mean you're upset about it? She's the one who had to go through. No, they knew I got it. And they cried and they hugged me and they shared stories with me and they told me I'm one of those dads. And this is why I've treated my wife the way I did. This is why my marriage ended. This is why I'm a workaholic, why I've become an alcoholic or have these addictive tendencies, all these different things. It was like an epiphany for them that they started understanding. So that's a long answer to your question, but it has to start with communicating and starting to have the conversations and not being afraid to because of fear that we got this wrong or, gosh, how could we have done what we've done to men? Well, we did. Now let's move on. Let's recognize it, move on, that this is a conversation we need to all be having. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. And it reminds me of something that somebody shared with us when they walked by our booth the other day. They said, you know, you've got to make a friend, be a friend, and then you can disciple them, right? Like if we aren't choosing to make friends and we're standing on our side of the fence, our side of the issue, our side of our belief system, we're never going to be able to be a friend to somebody who needs us to be a friend. And that even starts as soon as you have the abortion is murder sign or, you know, only save the woman and the baby. We've got to communicate this in all things on our social media, in our churches. Clearly, you have the experience that it wasn't being communicated. So many pastors are afraid of talking about this because of the polarization. So I love that it's just breakdown. Make friends, because if we're not making friends, then we can't be friends. And then we certainly can't disciple people for healing. And that starts with our messaging, with our communication.
Yeah, it does. And people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Now, I do want to address the abortion is murder sign. You will never see me holding one of those up. And as a matter of fact, my daughter, who was a teenager at the time, has come to that realization as well. Whether it was through my experience, now she's 35 years old now, getting ready to have her fourth child. So, and she travels and speaks with me as well. So she is diehard pro-life, just as she was as a teenager. But she's recognized that women are victims in abortion. And the women don't walk into an abortion clinic thinking, I want to kill my baby or let's get rid of that. That's not their mentality. So I don't like the connotation of you're a murderer. You'll never see me saying that to a woman who's choosing abortion or who's chosen abortion ever. So that sign she's gotten rid of. And I just wanted to address that because I know there are some people who do believe in throughout putting those faces, those signs like that, or screaming those words at women and men. I do not. And I won't ever be a part of that kind of campaign. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you did. And I want to say the same thing. Support after abortion does not endorse that as an approach in front of a abortion clinic with women and men who have experienced abortion. If we are going to eradicate abortion, we believe that it starts with healing those who have been impacted. Because truly, if you think about it, like we said, Victoria said this earlier, if there have been over 60 million deaths to abortion, that means there's over 120 million parents that have been hurt by abortion who are creating generational patterns. They're walking wounded. They're invading our jails and our prisons, domestic violence, relationship issues, divorce, you name it. There are so many symptoms of those abortion experiences that are infiltrating our entire social service organization, creating so much more issues in our world that then we're paying it forward. And so we really believe that if we don't change our messaging and we just choose to take this stance and say, I've always been pro-life and I'll never agree with abortion, we want to really hope, we hope that the message of laws will never change hearts, right? Laws will never change hearts. Hearts will change laws. How do you get to the heart of somebody? You make a friendship, you be a friend, and then they allow you to speak into them.
Yeah, so true, Lisa. It's about communication. It's about talking about it. I have a platform. That's where God put me. So I'm speaking sharing my story in lots of different places, but the majority of people in this country won't do what I'm doing, and they don't have to. But if you can network and reach your sphere of influence, you'll reach people that even a video of me wouldn't reach because they have no relationship with me. They have one with you. So it is, I love that. Be a friend to somebody. And I think that's brilliant. And it's what's going to change one heart at a time. Because as Lisa said, I agree with you, Lisa, and people get angry with me and they say, I can't believe you don't want to see Roe v. Wade overturned. I'm like, you call me if it happens and I will throw a huge party. But my focus isn't on trying to get Roe v. Wade overturned. That God's called other people to do that, and God bless them for it. My focus is reaching people with the truth about what abortion is and what it isn't. Reaching people with the truth about my story so they can understand that I am tangible evidence who is willing to tell you my experience and how it affected my life. Not just mine, the thousands of women, thousands and thousands of men and women I have met in 24 years. Many of them I have counseled. Many of them I have put through after abortion recovery weekends to help them go through the same weekend retreat I did, because I knew it changed my life. It could change theirs. When we know something, how can we not share it? When we know something great, I know after abortion recovery is paramount to changing people's lives for the better and changing the direction that they're going, and helps them build their self-esteem back, helps them feel loved again and wanted again, all of those things that come with that kind of healing. Why would I keep that to myself? I'd be really selfish to keep that to myself. So yes, it is all about relationships. It is all about communication. It's about speaking truth. And with 120 plus million people that have had abortions, a small percentage of them, I believe, are going to start rising up and speaking out more and more and more and getting the courage. But they get the courage from people that they hear their story from. My book, They Lied to Us, has stories of women and why they chose abortion, how, you know, their whole story. It's kind of like chicken soup for the soul. Think that in a book form. I kept it under 100 pages because I knew that I wrote it for the girl who walks in the pregnancy center who says, I'm having an abortion this weekend. I need my free ultrasound. We'll take this book as our gift. She could read it in a couple hours so that she knew the truth before she walks in, but it's still her choice. You know, God gave us all free will. He didn't force us to love him. He doesn't force us to not sin. He doesn't force us to not walk into an abortion clinic. He loves us no matter what we choose. We're the ones who choose to do the sin. Now, we don't get to choose the consequences of those things we choose to do, but we still all have a choice. So people that are pro-choice, Lisa, they like to tell me, you're one of those radical pro-life trying to take a woman's right away, blah, 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 all the stuff we all hear. And I had a really interesting conversation with someone who was very pro-choice. And I said, well, Did you know the percentage of women who feel pressured into having an abortion? It's really high. It's an 80%. It's in the 80s. He's like, really? I said, yeah. Did you know that they feel they have no other option but abortion and feel pressured, so they choose abortion? They don't realize there's other options available. No, I didn't. So then I can tell you that I think I'm more pro-choice than you are. Well, how is that? Because I talk to women about all their options. It's their choice what they choose. I can't force them to not have an abortion. It's their choice. But I'm going to make sure I educate them with the truth and all the options before they make that choice. So I'm giving them more choices than you are, because your choice is abortion. Mm. And he said, oh my gosh, maybe I'm more pro-life than I thought I was. I just don't want anybody taking anybody's rights away. And I'm like, you know what? It's her right to choose right now. I don't see that changing. Now, like I said, I am more than willing to be proven wrong. And I'm not getting into arguments with you people. Some people want to argue with me and say, you don't have faith. You know, praise God if Roe v. Wade is overturned. It should have never happened in the first place. It should have never happened. It was based on lies, lies after lies after lies. Go look the story up of Roe v. Wade. There's a Roe v. Wade movie coming out soon. Watch the movie. It's very educational of what you will learn about how Roe v. Wade came to be. All based on lies. 10,000 women dying in backstreet abortions, lies. They made that up. The media ran with it. So it's based on lies. So if you can overturn it, more power to you. You got my support. I'm just telling you, that's not what I feel called to do. I want to educate and shift the paradigms of people and change the hearts and minds of people on this issue by letting them hear from people like me, because that's what it's going to take.
So good. So I feel like to capture what we're really sharing today is that we need to communicate about the issue of abortion, and we need to make sure that in any healing ministry, women's retreats, men retreats, therapy, pregnancy centers, wherever we are, we absolutely need to be assessing and communicating about abortion. Then we need to really evaluate what our communication is. If we are communicating, what is the messaging that we're sending off, and who is the messaging geared for? And then lastly, I feel like it's just creating a place for people to feel safe to then really grow comfort in saying, you know, that was me. And I guess I'm not as alone as I thought in this journey. And there are people like Victoria who have experienced this. And if she has hope in her life and she's been able to move through this, maybe I can too. But it really is that three-step, that's really what we've uncovered today, really.
Yeah, and it also all kind of comes full circle to what you said at the beginning, Lisa. Abortion is socially acceptable, but no one's talking about it. And that is so true. And we have got to talk about it so that those 120 plus million people feel safe to share. Maybe not publicly. It doesn't have to be publicly, but with that person they feel safe with, because that starts the pathway to healing. It starts a pathway to forgiveness. And that until people that have had abortions or whatever the transgression that they have, that is their crutch, if you will, or even what keeps them up at night, whatever it is, until you feel safe to share it with somebody, to tell them the truth, to get the help you need. And I do recommend tell someone safe. I'm not talking about putting it on your social media account. You don't know who's listening. And the last thing you need is someone to attack you. So find that safe person to share that deepest, darkest secret with that you can't get rid of, you can't break free from. Now, God can do that with you one-on-one. He can, but he also uses people to bring healing into your life. He did for me. I will always be grateful to Mary. And Mary is and I are still friends to this day. And I've told her many times, if it wasn't for you, I don't know how much longer I would have walked around feeling how I felt. A woman came to me recently, Lisa, at an event I spoke at, and she said she was in her 60s. She walks up to me after the event and she was emotional. And I mean, that happens every time I go somewhere. I knew probably what she was going to tell me. And she said, I want to tell you something. I wasn't even planning on coming here to this event, but my friend called me a couple hours ago, said her husband can't make it, want to come have a girls' night to this dinner thing. I didn't ask her what it was. I just thought I'll go spend time with my friend. So I came here, and then you spoke about your story. You spoke about after abortion healing and you spoke about grieving the loss of your aborted child. And I said, mm-hmm. And then she just cried and cried and said, I didn't know I was allowed to grieve. She goes, it's been over 35 years for me. And I've never cried because when I've wanted to cry, I've stopped and said, you don't deserve to cry. You don't get to cry. You chose. And I had never heard there was help for people like me. Can you help me? First thing I did is looked at her and said, I'm so sorry for your loss. And she said, losses. It was twin girls. And I've never been able to have children since. And I hugged her and got her some help. I got her connected for after abortion care. That was right before COVID hit, Lisa. So you want to tell me people still don't know there's help for them? They're everywhere. And they are bleeding. And they are begging for someone to see them. And they are begging for God to show them, where can I go to get help? So things like this podcast, things like speaking out, you never know who's going to see it. To tell that person who tells that person or shares something that we do. And then that person who secretly can see it on social media feels safe, but then reach out to me or someone like Lisa. It happens every time. Every week I get emails from people who saw me from something, like 3-4 times over. And it didn't even come from one of something I posted or whatever. You get the picture. And they say, tell me about this after recovery. Tell me, how can you help me? I'm about to have an abortion. Please, can you talk to me about it? I saw your video, whatever the case. We've got to keep doing. I think what we're starting to do and more is helping, but we have a lot of work to do. We have our work cut out for us. And we have, let's be honest, a side that wants to squelch our voices, that want to keep our mouths shut, because the abortion industry is a multi-billion dollar industry that is lining the pockets. It's the truth of many politicians. So babies are dying to buy people boats and mansions. And it's got to stop, because this is at the expense of people, not just these babies. These babies are with Jesus immediately, in my opinion. As a Christian, I believe God is immediately holding these children. But these men and women left behind are dealing with the catastrophe of abortion, and they matter too, because Jesus died on the cross for all of us, not just the unborn.
So good. So I just want to share with everybody listening that we have virtual healing groups right now in the midst of COVID. We also have training for leaders to provide healing groups in a new and different way. If you're interested, visit supportafterabortion.com. We'd be glad to connect with you. And again, we have like 9 virtual groups going on right now. So it's not just a one size fits all. We really want to meet you where you're at, based on the interests and needs that you have. Victoria, do you have any other healing programs? I know you have a healing weekend. I don't know if it's meeting or anything right now, but how might somebody get in touch with you to connect?
Okay. You can find me on social media. As long as I'm up. I mean, who knows when that's going to happen. You can email me. Let me give you 2 emails, because who knows when in the future this will play. And I want to make sure you can always get in touch with me. I'll give you this one. It's rvictoriarobinson@protonmail.com. rvictoriarobinson@protonmail.com. I use the Forgiven and Set Free curriculum, Lisa, with Linda Cochran. And I actually have had several that have had to be canceled because of COVID, because we've been doing them in-house. I'm looking at doing something virtual, so that's great. I definitely will reach out to you to see how you guys are doing it, or maybe participate somehow. I would love to see how that's going, because I still have a waiting list of women who need the help. And I don't want them to wait just because I can't use the facility we normally use. I have one scheduled in person in March in Texas. And that's could maybe canceled. Who knows? I hope not. But I'm still doing these. I have my own nonprofit that I started before. I've had it and throughout my career, called Reassemble. I haven't really done more with it, but what I do through Reassemble is after abortion recovery. And I felt like the Lord told me to name it Reassemble, because people are in pieces. They literally are in pieces after an abortion. just like their children. And we need to put them back together.
Wow, it's phenomenal. I think it'd be wonderful if you used our forum to lead that virtual group. I would love to see
Okay. Talk about
that. That would be wonderful. So maybe our next series of groups, we can coordinate and have you lead a group. Wow, that would be great. We're seeing more and more of that. Mm-hmm. More and more leaders using the platform and allowing us to fill their groups for them so that they can lead the curriculum that they want to lead, but that they get to the luxury of having people fill the groups and not all the admin support. So that's awesome.
Okay, and we're going to talk because I'm telling you, I've got lists and these women need it. They really need it. And I don't want something like COVID to keep them from getting the healing that they need.
Yeah. We've had women from Switzerland. I have like 6 women from California in my group right now, and I'm in Southwest Florida. I mean, we've really been able to figure out how to do it well, and it's been phenomenal. And you know, Victoria, what we've also been able to figure out is how to meet women really close after their abortion experience so that they're not waiting 12 years. Yes. So we have my group that I'm leading now is full of women who have experienced abortion, most within the last month, some within only 5 years. I mean, it's just a paradigm shift.
I love that because I don't want them walking around for decades, just like this woman that I met, just like myself. I mean, and that's what's important about the conversation, because I have those girls that I've counseled even through COVID, many who I spent 2 weeks counseling with one young woman, and she was adamant she was not going to have an abortion. Then she wasn't. And then she sent me the ultrasound pictures. She was so excited. I didn't hear from her for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And the mom and the boyfriend talked her into it. And she finally called me. And when she did, she was hysterical. Yeah. I said, "Why didn't I listen to you? Get me my baby back. Help me get my baby back." But people like her, I don't want them waiting for years and years and years. And someone else might say, "Well, you told her, why are you going to help?" Darn right, I'm still going to help her. What's wrong with you people? I mean, of course I'm going to help her. Who died and let you become Jesus? I mean, give me a break. Until you can raise people from the dead or you walk on water, then get behind me, okay? Because everybody deserves God's forgiveness. Everybody, no matter what they've done.
And that's why we are connected, because we believe the same thing at Support After Abortion. And for those pro-lifers listening that are still on the fence about this message, I just want to really encourage you to think about this statistic. 1 in 4 women before the age of 45 will have an abortion. And out of those women who will have an abortion, 50% of them will have another one. And so it's my belief and my experience, Victoria, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, is that if we don't provide healing, we are going to see that continue to happen. But the minute you find healing, the minute you begin to grow in freedom, you begin to make new and different choices. And in my perspective, new and different choices means not going back inside that abortion clinic. But until healing happens, we have blinders on and we don't see what we don't see. And so we believe the lies and we believe the damaging conversations inside of our hearts and the silent conversations that we're only having with ourselves. So Victoria, do you believe that healing will end abortion if we can really get to the hearts and minds of these folks?
100%. Before healing, I hated myself. I thought getting thrown around by a guy or being cheated on was well-deserved. I mean, I took the life of my child. So did I expect God to bring a great guy into my life? And my self-esteem was shot. I never felt good enough. I always felt too fat, too skinny, just never good enough. And I changed as a mother. I started smothering because I had 2 daughters. My husband had divorced me and left. So I was abandoned with 2 little girls to take care of, 9 months old and 3 years old. And so I started changing how I viewed them. And I was terrified God was going to take one of them to get me back for what I'd done. And how did that bring joy into my children's lives? It didn't. And I literally can tell you that it changed, I think, probably their little minds of, why is mommy different? You're not the same person. So you may not recognize it for a while, but it's there. And you're doing things or making choices because you're not healed. As Lisa said, come through healing. And then you're like, hey, that's why I'm still single. Okay. I'm not settling. You know, so you start looking at yourself differently and you feel like God does love me. Even with all my junk and all my crap and my scars and everything, he still, even if I'm fat, even if I'm skinny, he doesn't care. He just thinks I'm awesome. So you do, you're a different person. There is freedom. The Bible says the truth will set you free. Wow. I never really got that till I went through healing. Wow. And the truth is that I am not saying that there are things in my life that I'm going to shout from the rooftops. Those are things I might share with particular friends. It's nobody else's business. But I am saying that now, even if I chose to, I don't really care what you think of me, because what matters is what he thinks of me. When what he thinks of us is more important than anybody else, we've won. So now that I've gone through healing, I know what he thinks of me because he has forgiven me for much. And he loves me and he still has blessed me abundantly. I had two more children later, my two younger daughters. I've got 8 grandchildren, 1 on the way. I have this incredible family. Yes, I'm single. That's okay. I'm so content. But had I not gone through healing, I'd probably be sitting here going, woe is me.
Wow.
You know, so good. Healing is everything. Yes, Lisa, healing is everything.
Yeah. Well, as we're wrapping up, why don't you share one more time that email address? I heard you say we can connect on social media, and then also give folks the YouTube maybe search criteria so they can find that video you were talking about.
Okay. It's R Victoria Robinson at Proton Mail, ProtonMail.com. That's the email you can reach me at. I'm going to be keeping that one. I don't know which ones I'm getting rid of. So this is one I think I'm going to be keeping. You can find me on social media, Victoria Robinson. And if you Google my name, Victoria Robinson, you could even put my name and Save the Storks next to it. A lot of videos will pop up. There's some videos there of me speaking at a college in California that is about the pro-life message, which I would highly recommend watching it. I think you'll learn some things. And then my testimonies there are several videos out there with my testimony. So please get in touch with me if I can help. Find me, go through Lisa if you have to, but I'd love to connect in any way. Whatever I can do to help you guys, I will be willing to do. At Save the Storks, I'm really proud to say that they recognize the after abortion recovery. And I've told them from day one, before I came there 3 years ago, I was a CEO of a pregnancy resource center. My whole career for 20 years before Storks was in PRC work. When I came to them, I said 2 things. 1, I want to produce videos with men's testimonies. And I did. Those are out there and they're actually have millions of views from men sharing their stories for the first time. And then I said, we've got to get recognize the care that women need after abortion. So they have never said, well, no, that's not our thing. They have always said, we trust you. You know where you've been there. So tell us what we need to do. So I'm really excited about what I think the future is going to bring in this area. I'll never stop talking to girls who are considering an abortion ever, ever, ever. But I do see a shift in after abortion recovery being something that is more critical now than ever.
Wow, so good. And you have a book. What's the name of the book again?
We have a book called They Lied to Us. You can get it on Amazon. It's in its 4th print. It's been out for about 15 years.
Amazing.
And I'm working on my men's book now with men's stories in the same way that I did They Lied to Us. So I'm doing the same thing with my men's book.
So good. And you are a very well and diverse speaker. And so if people are looking for event speakers or to highlight this message, you're available for that too as well, right?
And you can go to Premier Speakers or Ambassador Speakers. I am on both of their rosters. And check with them and you'll find me there or email me and then we can go from there. Anything you need, look, this is my heart, my soul. Sometimes I wish I worked at a bank, but I don't. So
I'm glad you don't. Well, we're so thankful that you joined us today. Victoria, I'm so grateful to know you and to just continue to create synergy as we really push forward the abortion healing message and help to create a new pro-life movement that really encompasses men and women who've been impacted by abortion. So we thank you for joining the Catalyst for Change show today. Again, hosted by Support After Abortion. If you're interested interested in learning more, visit us at supportafterabortion.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for joining us today. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, you are not alone. Contact us today at supportafterabortion.com. If you were inspired by today's message, we welcome you to join the conversation by following us on Facebook or Instagram.